It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's go. Baseball is Boring radio show is back. We are live from Globe Life Field in Dallas. I am going to scream McFarlane all across the great state of Texas, across the parking lot to Jerry World, AT&T Stadium. I can almost see it right out the window here. We are high atop. When I say high atop, Globe Life Field, I mean, this is the – not that anybody cares about this, but this is the highest press box that you perhaps find. But I was able to watch the great game of baseball for the last 2 days, and we are going to talk about the aforementioned great game of baseball. But first, Tommy, give me a McFarlane, please.
McFarlane!
All right, see, there you go. You were good from the get-go. And two guys who never disappoint, the play testy guys, Sammy and Gordo. Gordo, give me a McFarlane, please.
McFarlane!
All right, and Sammy?
McFarlane!
Oh, a little accent of goo on that. All right, if everyone wants to join, we're on for the next 2 hours leading up to the pregame show, 617-779-7937. And guys, I just heard the great Travis Tomic's experience, and they were doing the records. I think, what was it, Tom? Records that are notable records
it
or something?
It was the most impressive or unbeatable sports records.
All right, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to add this. It'll be a perfect segue into our show. I'm going to give you the most impressive record that I've ever seen, and it was just recently. And in fact, it was last week. It was most time visiting Twin Peaks in 4 days at spring training by the playtesting guys, right? Am I wrong?
I can't confirm nor deny that one. Sorry.
What was it? Seven times in 4 days?
Well, I had one extra on. Actually, I had two extra on Gordo because.
What's the second?
Actually, no, just one. Just one because we went for lunch the next day. An innocent salad. What's wrong with that?
They're known
for their salads and TV. So, okay, anyway. So, congratulations on making that record. That will stand forever, much like Johnny Gomes' most hits off a catwalk. All right. Well, guys, we're going to get right into it. You guys did a great job in spring training. We'll also talk about that. But I want to also use this as an opportunity for people to call in about these Boston Red Sox, specifically maybe about Rafael Devers, because, you know, like I wrote a story in WEI.com last night, tweeting during the game, and it's a very polarizing issue, and there's a lot of stuff to sort of pick through when it comes to the Devers conversation. And it gets me sort of mad. It gets me sort of mad that people are taking such lazy narratives. And people might be surprised about my explanation when I say lazy narratives. I'm not saying lazy narrative about, oh my goodness, it's only two games. It is only two games, and I'll get to that in a second. I think it's a lazy narrative of saying, how dare you even bring this up? And I got some of that last year or last night. How dare you even bring this up? It's only two games. How, like, well, I will say this, guys, and you can respond, but let me go on my little rant first, is that with a Dever situation, yes, science would suggest it's only two games. Science would also suggest in 2021, I think he started out 0-11, went on, had a great year to begin the year. So we get that. But this, the reason why you have to discuss this is because we came into this year and said, if this happens, then this is going to continue the conversation. A conversation that began on February 17th when he had his press conference saying definitively he was not going to do a DH. He was only going to play third base. We all remember that press conference. That was where all this began. Then you go out through all of spring training, which I was out with the all exception of, I think, 4 days, going through all of that. And there was the, yeah, he's going to play the field. Then he's not going to play the field. Yeah, he's going to hit in a bunch of Grapefruit League games. Next thing you know, he gets 14 at-bats in Grapefruit League games. So, but he's still hitting in the backfield. There was all of that. It just kept on going and going and going all the way until the opening day. Then opening day comes around, and he has the bad game. He strikes out 3 or 4 times. All right, fine. Now you get into the second game. And before the second game, Alex Cora is asked about if would Rafael Devers play the field if Alex Bregman got the day off. Do we have that queued up, Tommy?
Yes.
All right. This is what he said.
If you want to give Bregman a day, will you go with Rafi there? Or
Rafi's DH. Rafi's going to DH.
What goes into that? Trying to keep the routine the same?
No. I mean, he's our DH. I mean... You got to think about it, and I lived through it in the WBC 2017. I still remember we asked Carlos to play third base, and there was an off day for Francisco, and Edwin Rodriguez, who was the manager, like, hey, you want to tell Carlos he's playing short? I'm like, no, you do it. You're the manager. And Edwin asked Carlos, hey, for tomorrow, you want to play short? He's like, no, I'm the third baseman. So Rafi, we had a conversation. We talked about it. He's DHing. He's the DH of the Boston Red Sox.
Romy and maybe Hamilton as the backups there.
We got Romy. Yeah, we got guys that can play third.
All right. Okay. All right. So he is the designated hitter of the Boston Red Sox. So that was before the game. That is definitively that continued. That was the latest sort of tentpole in this chaos. Really was chaos since going back to February 17th when we were trying to figure all this out. So then you have the game and you have this 4-strikeout game. And people are like, well, again, it's only the second game. Still, it's a 4-strikeout game. It's not good. He's getting beat on fastballs. And so my overall point in this is that do I think Rafael Devers will hit? Yes, I do. Do I think Rafael Devers will have a good year? Yes, I do think because you just don't disappear unless his shoulders are more messed up than we thought. But you can't ignore what is happening or what has happened since February 17th. So what this has done all the way up through the game after where he talked after the game last night, all the way through that, you have to look at it and say the conversation, the chaos has not died down because of all of this. And so this isn't the narrative, oh my goodness, how dare you say Rafael Devers is going to have a bad year because he's had these two bad games. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the entire picture. And this is a picture which we simply haven't seen certainly with the Red Sox in baseball for a long time. I just was down in the Texas clubhouse and was talking to a player there, and they said, yeah, they're really doubling down on this Rafael Devers, this DHing thing. I'm like, yeah, you know, I guess. But it's a talk of baseball. It was a talk of baseball on February 17th. It was the talk of baseball for the majority of spring training. A lot of people were trying to figure it out. They continue to try to figure it out. And when you try to figure it out and you have this sort of mystery and then the curtain is unveiled and what you're seeing is a guy who's striking out 7 of 8 times, I'm sorry, you are going to have that narrative, especially when you have a guy the previous year, and I know that people didn't like that stat, this stat I'm going to throw out, but so be it. Last year, he ended the season with 3 straight games of striking out 3 times. I get it. His shoulders were all messed up. I'm not saying that that is the same player. But we can't ignore any of this. All of this is history. What we're viewing, what we're seeing, what we're hearing is all historic stuff. And maybe he hits three home runs today, and all of it is pushed to the rearview mirror. He has figured it out. He knows how to DH, and they pushed all the right buttons. So be it. But as we sit here right now, guys, I am telling you that there is a reason why we are talking about it. And it's not because it's just two games of being bad. It's because all the things that I just pointed out. All right, who wants to go first?
Well, Rob, first of all, I want to thank you for calling out the lazy narrative. Consummate professional as always. I think right now what the bulk of the fan base is doing is they're saying it's one of two things, mainly. It's either the health or it's Rafi being at DH and not being comfortable. When in reality, I think it's a combination of the two, which you alluded to, and we kind of have to let the season play out to see how it goes. But to say you're concerned about Rafael Devers, I think is more than fair, and it's a lot more than just the two games, which, of course, he has not looked good at all. He was hurt for, what, half the season in 2024? The shoulder could barely throw.
Yeah, can I pause right there, Sammy? One of the things is that, and I'm not taking, they insist his shoulders are okay. But all we know is this, is that spring training, it was a slow play with the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Shoulders are a very tricky thing. If you want to do the exercise of going to Baseball Savant, which is, you know, I'm hesitant to do that because, again, it is two games, but the bat speed is down. Like, they measure this stuff. So maybe he's just working his way back from the shoulder thing and it'll get better. But as you guys know, shoulders are a very, very tricky thing. We saw that last year and perhaps we're seeing it to an extent this year, but it's also, to your point, something that we have to put on the list of things. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think this is all kind of part of one big conversation. There's a litany of concerns, and I think the lazy aspect that you pointed to is people want to point out it's one thing or the other thing. I don't think this makes it any better, but there's multiple concerns right now with Rafael Devers.
I put out a poll, and I wanted people to try to pinpoint what they think the reason is. I couldn't even fit everything onto the poll because is it that he's a DH? And if it is it because he's upset that he's a DH, or is it because he's not used to the routine of being a DH and doesn't know what to do in between at bats? Is it because he didn't have really any spring training, which is, if you want to point the finger at one thing over the others, that's where my finger's pointed.
Well, and Gordo, real quick, when that is brought up, and I think I said, you know, he had about 14, something like that, plate appearance in the Grapefruit League. They'll talk about, well, he got all these backfield. They got the Traject machine. By
it's
the way, terrible,
the
terrible advertisement for the Traject machine early on, right? But you have, you know, you have that. And then they say, oh, look at Willy Abreu. He did something similar. And look at what he's doing. But it's not apples to apples.
Rob, there's a reason they play the game. Like, there's a reason spring training exists.
And Gordo, like, this is the thing. When we talk about the big conversation of Rafael Devers, it's all of it, including that. It's including the mystery that why Rafael Devers would not play, or I wouldn't say wouldn't because it may seem like he's defiant, or did not play in more Grapefruit League games.
Well, they wanted him to, right?
When he was hitting in the backfield, it wasn't like he was resting his shoulders. He was still hitting. And so when he was saying, my timing's off, well, to your point, isn't that exactly what spring training games are for? And that is another thing to put on. We're just adding to the list here, but another thing to put on the list.
It's like a catch-22. He's hurt. He doesn't want to make himself more hurt, so he's not playing in the spring training games because he doesn't want to make it worse. But then when he doesn't play in the spring training games, the timing's off, and then he doesn't play well when he is in the games.
But the point is that he wasn't not playing. Like, that's the thing. He was still swinging the bat, and it wasn't like he wasn't not playing.
So, Rob, question for you. Is there any part of you, because, like, we talked about this in the moment, trying to figure out why is he not playing the games? Clearly, he's healthy enough to take swings, as you're saying. So is it defiance? Is it just obviously that they've said that they're going to let him take his spring training as he wants to take it, as the veteran player that he is, as the $300 million man that he is? Is it defiance? Is it just like you guys say that you're going to handle your business the way you want to handle it, and that's by DHing me?
We're missing something. It feels like we're missing something.
There is something that we don't know.
I think, well, that's the thing, is that, you know, I think that if off of, on the surface, if we're going to go off of what we know, I think it's they're deferring to him. We're going to let you figure it out. We're going to let you guide yourself through preparing for whatever, for spring training. They're walking on eggshells around him to a certain degree, and we, I get that. I mean, it was a tough thing to navigate after that press conference. There's no question about it. But it landed exactly where we thought it would, because Rafael Devers had nowhere to go. I mean, he's not retiring. He's not, like, boycotting. He's playing. He's hitting. Now, I will say this, guys, and I want to get your take real quick. And again, 617-779-7937. We just played the sound of Cora saying he's only DHing. He's not playing the field. Obviously, Alex Cora is a very good manager. I think this is an enormous misstep. Unless they're that concerned about his shoulders, I think it's an enormous misstep not to integrate him somehow, some way into the field. And I posted the video before the opening day game, and he's taking grounders right there with Alex Bregman. Well, okay. So we know that he's physically capable of it, but if you talk to, let's go back to J.D. Martinez. When J.D. Martinez stopped playing the field and was DHing, one of the things that he said that really, really was hard for him was not playing at all in the field. Remember, 2018, he still played in the field once in a while, and don't give me he has to focus on hitting. I think that's detrimental, guys. Again, another guy that I talked to just now in the clubhouse, in the Texas clubhouse, who knows these sort of things, is like that can be detrimental when you're only focus on hitting. And he's going to get his routine, and he's probably going to figure it out. But I think that was a misstep.
Rob, I'm fully on the same page as you here, and it goes so much deeper than the fact that it limits your flexibility long term. Like the example I put out on Twitter yesterday was that if you want to go after Vlad next year and Devers is your full time DH, then you have to pick one of Devers or Casas. But let's be in the now here. Remember last year with Masataka Yoshida, they said they weren't going to play him in the field at all. And they said it wasn't because of injury. They just said they weren't going to do it. And then it turned out, oh, wait, it was because of an injury. It was because he was hurt. So it points to Rafael Devers potentially not being fully healthy like they're telling us. And we have evidence that
I want to go back to that. And maybe I'm misremembering this, but I don't think that injury really happened until into the season. And with their proclamation that they were taking away Masayoshi's glove happened before the season.
I thought it happened in spring training. I thought there was something that happened. We'll have to look into this. I thought there was something in spring training. I know there was more stuff during the season that made it worse. And I know he had to spend some time on the IL.
I think maybe you're right, but I think that ultimately, if that is the case, the messaging was poor then, because the messaging was, the guy can't field.
Right.
The guy can't function. We have to be better defensively in the outfield, and we can't put him out there because that would not be making us better in the outfield. And we get it with Devers. Like, we get that if you put him out at third, you're weakening yourself defensively, but you've also run him out there for what, how many years now? This is what it is with Devers, and it's okay. It's the same thing with J.D. Martinez, right? J.D. Martinez, you just put him out there. You knew that wasn't your best defensive lineup, but to give a guy a break? Like, what is going to be more beneficial for the Boston Red Sox when Alex Bregman needs a day off? Is it to put Rafael Devers out there and to let him taste the field a little bit, to get into the game a little bit, to move his body a little bit? Or is it to put Romy Gonzalez out there?
Well, Rob, it's obviously to put Rafi out there, especially when Yoshida's healthy. But even if Yoshida's not healthy, I mean, how many times have we been frustrated over the years with having full-time DHs and not being able to get guys pseudo days off? Like, your outfielders, you know, Jaron Duran's out there every single day. Like, all these guys, Story's out there every single day, and you can't even get these guys DH days if Rafi isn't going to be able to play.
Yeah, you're absolutely pigeonholing yourself by making that statement.
Right, which is yesterday. Odd because is a guy like Cora who stresses lineup flexibility and the importance of that and getting different guys in based on the matchups, this and that, it's just odd, and I wouldn't be shocked if Devers does end up playing a little bit of third base in 2025. It just doesn't add up to keep him solely as a DH, and I understand it's not lost on me that they really want to drill this into him. You are the DH now and for the future, but I just can't fathom him not playing any third base at all. I still think it happens.
Yeah, and so we know, guys, you did the show with me last year. We've done this enough where we know that the next time we do the show, a week from now, everything could have changed. Tomorrow or later today, it could change. That's not the point. I want to come back to that. That's not the point here. This isn't the point. Isn't about two games. The point is that the two games are just another thing that has added to the long list of chaos since February 17th. That's the point. And if he went out and hit five home runs the last 2 days, then fine. Like, then great. Like, we would say it's good. It's a good two-game run for him. Same thing. But the problem is that this is something like that we have never seen. We've already gone through in the last 10 minutes guessing and trying to do the perfect mind thing, beautiful mind thing, put it up on the window and, you know, try to navigate it that way. It's a great Russell Crowe reference. I don't care what anyone says. So I just don't understand these people who are just like, oh, no, how dare you talk about it? It's no big deal. Well, I'm sorry. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about what Marcelo Meyer said to the Jones and Keefe show yesterday. We're also going to talk about the Garrett Crochet contract, what he said to me before the game yesterday. We got a ton of stuff to talk about that's going to fly by. We're with you all the way up until the pregame. Call on in, 617-779-7937. The great Tommy will take your call, but right now he's going to be busy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is he giving you a trending? All right, these guys are my favorite. Tommy, Gordo, Sammy. Gordo and Sammy, of course, play Tessie. They took Florida by storm.
I miss it. I miss Florida.
I know you do. It's the sun. It's the shade. It's the water.
Sweaty.
It's the rental car.
It's the sun and it's the shade.
It's the sun. I mean, in case people don't know, by the way, this is a Baseball Isn't Boring show. We're going to get to the calls right now, 617-779-7937. People, a very polarizing issue, Rafael Devers. But in case people don't know, Gordo was down in spring training. Well, Gordo, Sammy, and Pat all down in spring training last week, just doing a ton of interviews. You know, I think that your best interview that you've done, having witnessed it, and they're all being rolled out on the Play Tessie feed, I thought actually D'Angelo Ortiz was your best interview.
Yeah.
I think he was.
He was awesome to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good. But you got a lot of those coming. And also, baseball isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Sitting down with Lucas Giolito to talk about the movies his mom was in. So, where I call Collateral Damage an iconic movie, which as soon as I said it, I don't know what I was saying. Anyway, so 617-779-7937. So this goes to the phone lines. Of course, Hall of Fame caller, Jeff in Watertown. Jeff, bring some reason to this whole bout of chaos that we're going through. What's going on?
Well, Brad, well, welcome back. Welcome back to Terrestrial Radio. I thought you gave up on it for a while. But,
no, listen.
Good to have you back.
So. Listen, the NCAA tournament isn't going to broadcast itself, so it's very, very, very important. Very important. So, but we're back. We're back. We're storming on into the season.
Well, so my thing about Devers is, first of all, nobody. I never thought he was signed as a third baseman. I don't. Anybody thought he was going to play third base for 10 years. They thought a year or two. Maybe they try him at first base for a little while, and the majority of the time he'd be a DH. He's getting paid to hit, and, you know, that's what he does. And I just had the sense, and we talked about this from the very beginning of spring training, I had the feeling that Alex Cora was really concerned about his physical condition, his being in shape, whatever. Like, from the word go, it seemed like Cora just was like, you know, Bregman's here, and he's going to be, you know, and he's going to be our third baseman, and we're going to make it work. And I just feel like I think it's all those things. I think it's his being in shape. I think his being injured. I'm not sure how hard he works in the off season compared to some other athletes. And I just feel like there's a lot of, you know, I don't think it's because he's DHing that he's hitting the way he is. I think it's because he didn't have a lot of at bats, and I think he's been hurt. And I think maybe he's not fully working out or doing everything he needs to do to be in shape. I don't know. But it seems to me like I thought, you know, try him at first base a little bit. But now I can't see how you put him at third, because then it's going to look like you gave in. And then if he stinks at third, then it's going to be, you know, why'd you do it? And then if he doesn't hit after that, then it's like, then what's the problem? Like, I don't know. I just suspect that he is maybe actually physically more hurt than Yoshida is down in, you know, in AAA, but because of contracts, this is where it is. But I feel like, you know, I don't think this has anything to do with not playing in the field. I think this is who Ruffy,
you know, Jeff, I think is. That everything Alex Cora does is purposeful, right? I mean, so when he could have easily just said, oh, we'll see about Devers playing in the field. He definitively said, no, he's the RDH. He's not playing in the field. So everything he does is with a purpose. So you have to integrate that. You have to factor that in. And you mentioned the conditioning, or you mentioned sort of the injury. I do think that one of the ways they look at this, we know that him playing third base, Devers playing third base, isn't the best lineup that you can put out there. But also getting the best Devers for the entirety of the season, I think one of the things that you have to factor in is that I do think that they believe that if he plays third base, you know, and for even for a few games, there might be the risk of him physically not being the best version of himself. That is just a fact. So I think they look at him DHing as another way to protect Rafael Devers, which is true. I mean, that part of it is absolutely true, because if you go back to the last, whatever, 3 or 4 years, the last 2 months of the season, for various reasons, he was banged up. So
Rob,
I think if
look at his career numbers, too. Obviously, we talk about
in August and September?
Yeah, August and September is two worst months offensively for his career.
Because he's banged up, because he's hurt.
That's a major
red flag. But people don't want to talk about it. It's like taboo to talk about Devers' health stuff. But that, I mean, is there a redder red flag than that?
No, and Jeff, is Jeff still there?
Yeah, I understand. Like, no, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Do you hear me? So going back to Alex Bregman, the only time Alex Cora ever talked about playing him at second base was before we signed him. You know, up until when we were talking about signing him, he was saying, you know, second base, he could play second base. As soon as he was signed, that was over. He was going to be at third base. We understand that. Alex Cora you're not going to, you know, count your chickens before they hatch, or whatever the phrase is. So, you got to wait until you have the player before you talk to Rafi Devers. But as soon as he had the player, it was very close. So in my mind, Alex Cora all winter is thinking, I don't want Devers playing third base.
Well, no, I do think that Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I look forward to talking to you on terrestrial radio many, many times a season. Thank you, my friend. But I think that I think that with Cora, he just wanted to get Bregman in the door. Like, he just wanted him getting him on a team. He wanted to find a way. There was a reason why. I think he was open to him playing second. We heard him at the winter meetings talk glowingly about how he could play second. I think the definitive statement or the definitive avenue of Alex Bregman playing third base came from the front office. They basically said, yeah, sure, Alex. We'll sign Alex Cora. We'll sign Bregman. But if we do, he's the third baseman. I mean, just make this very, very clear. I think that was the dynamic there. What do you think, guys?
I mean, it makes sense. You have a vastly superior defender at third. I mean, how good has the infield defense looked these first two games? It's like a different team. So I have no qualms with firmly keeping Bregman at third base. I think Devers will be fine at DH. It's just like this is such a cluster, you know what, for lack of a better term right now.
I mean, they haven't hit much, but I mean, you can't ignore the fact that zero errors for this team.
By the way,
two games.
Jack Leiter, I was like, wait, first of all, when he started pumping 99, I'm like, wait a second, this guy stunk for the last, or, you know, he was obviously in that draft class, the Marcelo Meyer draft class. We're going to get to Marcelo Meyer in a little bit about what he said to the Jones and Keefe show yesterday. But he was sort of almost the bust, not the Henry Davis bust, but the bust. And all of a sudden, now he's blowing 99. Now he's in the rotation. Now he shut down the Red Sox. That was sort of out of nowhere for me. But, hey, you know what? There it is. Leiter and Kumar Rocker.
Yeah, that's one of those. That's one of those baseball things where you just look at the player and you kind of shrug like, oh, okay, he clearly figured something out. He was electric yesterday, kind of sitting 97, 98 and touch a 99. The Red Sox were very uncomfortable all game long.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to Allison in Cambridge. And Allison, I'm gonna put a challenge out to you, Allison. You ready? Are you there, Allison?
Okay. Yeah. Hi there. Hello.
How are you? Always good to hear from you. And I love how passionate you are. And again, we're taking all calls from all different perspectives of the Rafael Devers thing. We embrace it all. I am challenging you. This is going to be very difficult to make it through this call without saying these two words. Ready?
No, don't say that Xander's one of them.
Xander Bogaerts. Xander, you are not allowed to say Xander Bogaerts. If you want to use code for it, I don't care, but you are not allowed to use Xander Bogaerts.
I can say the X-Man.
I guess. I don't want to take that away from you. Allison, go ahead.
Don't
give
be
me,
cruel,
give
Rob.
Me how you feel.
Okay, I think that what we're seeing is from what's happened from a long result of many years of having things be out of whack. And the place that Alex Cora was in, and Rafi, I just want to remind everyone thinks that Rafi, you know, is terrible at third base. Last year, when we had Trevor Story there in, one of the biggest problems with Rafi is that he hasn't had steady people in the infield. And when Trevor Story was there, when Trevor Story got hurt, Rafi put his hands around his head and yelled, oh no, at the top of his lungs, because he knew what that meant for him. And obviously, the X-Men had gotten him to be much better defensively. But anyhow, but Alex Cora, that Alex Cora has been hamstrung by, for so many years, not having people. I mean, Heim was famous for not giving you the position players that you needed. And so Alex Cora was brilliant. I think what happened with Alex, I love Alex. I think he's a great manager. But I do think that he was so much, he put in his head, all we need is, well, getting Garrett Crochet, trading and being willing to trade players to get Garrett Crochet. That was number one check off. But then he had in his head that if we just get Alex Bregman, who's a player that he knows, a player that he has confidence, a player who could be a leader. That's the other thing when the X-Men left, Alex Cora became the only leader. And so that he knew that would happen. And then, so he had in his head, we'll get Alex Bregman. And the organization had said that Rafi, even if they did that, that Rafi could still stay in third. And they put Alex Bregman in second. So the organization, you can't just suddenly change the narrative. But I think that Alex Cora was so like, all I need is Alex Bregman. All I need is Alex Bregman. And then that happened. And then it was like, uh-oh, there's this huge problem here. Well, I can't handle it. You know, Rafi hasn't been good at third base, and he's just going to have to be the DH. And they also have gotten something else off my back, because Yoshida's been a huge problem, too, having him take up the DH spot. Well, finally, the organization has decided, well, I thought they'd get rid of him, but we still have him. But, okay, so he's the DH, but we're doing this fake DL on him that, like, okay, so they got rid of that problem, and I can't deal with Rafi. I mean, Rafi's making $300 million, so he's going to have to be satisfied with that. We're just going to have to work it out. I think that Alex Cora just had enough.
All right, Allison, I hope you feel better. Do you feel better? That's what we're here for.
So, what do you think of the way that I lay out the narrative?
I don't know. There's a lot going on there,
Allison.
There's a lot going on. Listen. This is what we're talking
about. I love you guys. Okay. It's so good.
Yeah, Allison, thank you for the call. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season. You know, I think that this is not the meat and potatoes of what Allison was talking about, but she mentioned the name Yoshida. Like, this is another part of the equation, which it's a side note, but guys, it's one of these things where, much like we're desperately trying to figure out the Devers thing, and there's just so much mystery that we can't figure it out, and usually you can figure it out, and believe me, like, I'm in spring training for a long time, and I'm sitting there talking to a lot of people, and if I could figure it out, I would figure it out, and I figured out a lot of it, but not all of it, and Yoshida is one of these things where the only thing that I think I can figure out with Yoshida is that every time they talk about how awesome he is, they're screaming to the other teams in baseball how awesome he is. Because when Alex Cora says Rafael Devers is the designated hitter for the Boston Red Sox and he's not going to play in the field, well, science would suggest that you all have this other guy who only really DHs. Don't give me that he plays in the field. He only DHs. So what are you going to do with him? If you guys have a solution to this, I'm all ears.
No, that's the solution. You have to play him in the field, or he's not going to play, or he's gone. That's it. If you're gonna hamstring yourself by having Devers be the DH, that's one of the side effects of it.
I mean, the whole Yoshida thing, the way the Red Sox handle it, seems like one big sales pitch to 29 different Major League Baseball teams, where they're like, look, this guy is can't miss. He never strikes out.
What do you expect is going to happen?
The potential is there. Oh, he can play left field. Just you wait. Anyone want to trade for him? Anyone interested?
Is someone about to take on Masataka Yoshida's like $55 million remaining dollars in 3 years in May? I mean, like, it's not happening. What is the plan there?
They're going to eat the money eventually. I think they're going to be so desperate to get rid of him, they're going to eat the money and be like, all right, we tried. We did our best to rebuild this guy's value. We've given him all the chances in the world. Our sales pitch to the 29 other teams. It's not working. Bite the bullet. Goodbye.
Look at this from a 10,000-foot view. If Devers is your DH, right now your outfield, most days, Duran in left, Rafael in center, Abreu in right. You've got the top offensive prospect in baseball who can probably play any of those three positions waiting in the wings. So you got four guys there. Masataka Yoshida's on the injured list.
Right.
He's going to be ready in what? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? They'll probably try to kick the can down the road as far as they can.
He's
going
to have another magical injury.
Right. It was the back yesterday. Like,
there's no leg strong enough to kick the can down far enough. With him. There isn't. And like, here's where, if they could kick the can to July, this is what one scenario, and I'm not saying this has happened. Say they really wanted to trade Casas, and then he's like, okay, you're gonna integrate Devers at first. This is not going to happen, but I'm just trying to figure this out. You know, and then you have Yoshida at DH. I don't think that will happen. Absolutely don't think that will
Rob,
happen.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you think there's any scenario in which the Red Sox eventually DFA Yoshida and just get rid of him?
No. He's too good, man. Like, that's the thing. Like,
It has to be on the table.
See, this is what I don't get. He's too good to DFA. And I agree.
They trade him. They pay down on his contract. And, you know, that's the avenue I could see. But the problem is with that is that if you do that, then you better make sure Devers is healthy. You better make sure all these other guys are healthy. And, Gordo, when you're rattling off the other outfielders that can play, you're missing one. The guy who's playing left field today.
Yeah.
Christian Campbell.
Which maybe
should have been, like, to me, you ask me what I would have done opening day, what I was saying from the beginning of spring training, I think this team, and this is a team that scored one run yesterday, and obviously, you know, remains to be seen what the offense is going to look like this year. But the best offensive group to me has Masataka Yoshida in the lineup. How do you do that? Devers plays third, Bregman plays second, Campbell plays left, Duran plays center, Rafael is your utility man. That's the best offensive lineup you can put out there.
But we've already gone down that road, which is what you didn't do in spring training. You didn't play Devers a minute at third. You didn't play Bregman a minute at second.
No, you're right. It's off the table.
By the way, after for the first 3 weeks, insinuating that you were going to get Bregman time at second base, and then that completely went away, and then you certainly didn't play Devers, you know, at first at all, which you could have done. You know, you didn't do any of that, and that's one of the things that drives me nuts about spring training, how teams don't do that. Like, the Marcelo Meyer playing second out of nowhere, that was bizarre to me. Because that's what you should do, but you shouldn't do it in the last week of the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rob, I'll tell you, with first base depth options, like we saw it last year, Tristan Casas went down and they scrambled. They had no idea what to do, so they quickly go get Garrett Cooper, they quickly go get Dom Smith, and they hope something hits. Right now, what is it? It's Romy Gonzalez, it's Nick Sogard, they're teaching Vaughn Grissom, and they've got Abraham Toro. Like, those are your backup first base options. Why isn't why didn't Rafael Devers take a ground ball at first base?
No, and you know, and the thing is, we're going to reflect. And I want everyone to call in, weigh in, 617-779-7937. We're on with you all the way up into the pregame show. And the thing is that we're going to look back at this and say, well, what did they do right? What did they do wrong? Because right now there's a whole lot more wrong as we sit here than there is right. That's just how it feels. And you know, and part of that, yes, that part of that is the immediate reaction to a guy striking out 7 of his first 8 plate appearances. Sorry, that's what happens. That's what we knew this was going to happen. We said this, talking to scouts, talking to everybody else in baseball. This, everybody was saying this. Through all this chaos with Rafael Devers, one of the things that everybody in baseball was saying, what happens if he gets off to a slow start? That the conversations and the chaos and the mystery is only going to be amplified, and that's exactly what has happened. Before we go to the break, let's go to David in Florida. Hey, David, how are you?
Hello, Bradfo.
Hello, David.
You know, everything you're saying about Devers is correct, and it's all mental, too. It's all mental with him, and he's just very soft, and enough said. He's not a good baseball player. It's just going to get worse and worse with him. And did you also say that Christian Campbell is playing left field tonight?
He is. I can give you the lineup. Hold on. Well, go ahead. Keep going. I'll give you the lineup.
I mean, he's a rookie. He's a rookie. He's just getting acclimated to second base, and now you're going to put him in a new position?
I don't really have a problem with it. He's been playing plenty of left field. This is his lot. And, like, everybody knew he was going to play outfield in second base. That doesn't make any sense, though.
Why would you put a rookie who's just getting acclimated to the big leagues at second base and stick him in the outfield? It's going to backfire on them. There's going to be a left field. It's going to backfire. I guarantee you it's going to backfire.
It's not like he hasn't played left field before, Dave.
I think he's played more left field than second overall.
Yeah. So
it's
part of his value is that he's versatile.
Why was he even playing left field?
This is where he has played.
It's in his bag.
But they don't need him there.
It's in his bag, David.
But they don't need him there.
I mean, the whole conversation we just had was about how Devers being just the DH kind of pigeonholes what you can do with the lineup. And now we're complaining about guys playing too many positions. I think it's a good thing, not a bad thing. And if it backfires, you move him back.
Yeah. And David, thanks for the call. I want you to call back as the season progresses desperately. I want you to – because I wanted to check in on the Devers thing. Like, I do think he's going to have a good year. He's just too good a player not to have a good year as long as he's healthy. But so we're going to continue that conversation. But also, after the break, if you guys want to talk, spin the wheel of play Tessie if you want. Garrett Crochet or the Marcelo Meyer comment. Either one you want to do, we'll talk about that. You can weigh in, 617-779-7937. Before we go to break, I'm going to give you the lineup. Duran, center field, Devers, DH, Bregman, third base, Tristan Casas, first base. Trevor Story, shortstop, Abreu, the red-hot William Abreu, right field. The aforementioned Christian Campbell in left field. David Hamilton gets his first start at second. The Carlos Narvaez at catcher, the guy who sprays cologne on himself before he goes out to take the field. And the very intriguing, one of the things that we haven't talked about and probably won't talk about a whole bunch, but maybe after the game we'll talk about, Walker Buehler is on the mound. Again, 617-779-7937. Going to get to all this. We're off to a rousing start, and we're going to be going all the way to the pregame show. Gordo, Sammy, producer Tommy, the whole gang is here. Everybody yell at McFarlane. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Be back after this. Ooh, that was my conversation with Garrett Crochet. This is Rob Bradford. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. We're on with you until pregame. I am at Globe Life Field, one of the highest press boxes you'll ever see, and I'm looking down the exact spot where I stood there, and I talked to Garrett Crochet. He was coming out of the batting practice, and I thought, you know what, a good thing to talk about with him, which is probably going to be the last time that we talk to him about this in a long, long time, is the contract extension, fellas. The contract extension.
Good work, Rob.
We get caught up so much in the Rafael Devers stuff and throughout spring training, every time anyone, including you guys, you did an excellent interview with Garrett Crochet, and also along with him saying he doesn't eat vegetables, that he also broached the contract extension. And when you guys talked to him, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys talked to him, nobody was optimistic about him getting a deal done, right? Correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, he said, I don't foresee it happening before opening day, but I'd love to be there long term, but it's not before opening day. It's not
okay. Now. Okay, so that's Sammy and Gordo of Play Tessie. They were in Florida. They went to Twin Peaks 7 times in 4 days. So those guys talked to Garrett Crochet. Other people talked to Garrett Crochet. He said, he made it very clear that he was not going to talk contract extension once opening day rolled around. We knew that, so hence the midnight reference. And B, as it got closer, including to you guys, he said that it didn't look like that anything was going to get done, you know, but so be it. So when you heard that, when I'm saying that yesterday, did it surprise you?
A little bit.
Yeah, a bit. I mean, the fact that he was so candid about it, it felt like when he was with the White Sox and when he was early, right when he got traded to the Red Sox as well, he was a little more open to talking about the extension stuff. And then it sounded like maybe his agent or someone told him to, like, ease up a little bit on that. Don't make it too easy. So to hear him make a comment like that, that harkened back to a few months ago, surprising. And it makes me think, like, that's a positive development, in my opinion. I don't know what you think, Gordo.
Definitely.
But that sounds positive
huge
to me.
Can I tell you why I was surprised?
You may.
So we talked to him on Sunday. Opening day is what, Thursday? Thursday?
Yeah, so Sunday was the last day of spring training before they went to Mexico. He did not go to Mexico, but last day before they went to Mexico.
Right. So opening day is Thursday. Obviously, they're not going to talk on opening day. He's the starting pitcher. I didn't think there would be a lot of conversation the night before because, again, he's the starting pitcher. He's the opening day starter. He's got a lot on his plate. That's a lot of pressure. First start for the Boston Red Sox. Like, this is a big deal.
I mean, I don't think he's in these conversations. I'm sure his agent tells him what's going on.
No, but I think point taken by Gordo is that, yeah, he's not in the conversations, but ultimately he has to say yay or nay.
And he told you, Rob, what, till midnight, right? Like,
well, I said, you said down the wire. I'm like, because we perceive the deadline to be at midnight. If you're not going to get into opening day is technically at 12:01 a.m. So I said midnight. He's like, yeah, kinda. I'm like, okay.
So that's why it surprises me though, is because I mean, this, you know how meticulous pitchers are about their routine. Like, it's a minute by minute thing with these guys, and even the day before starts. So I was a little bit surprised that this was going to be something that they wanted to take down to that wire with him. I thought maybe it would. I figured they would make a late push because that's just kind of how they've operated. That's what they did with Bregman. That's what they did with trading for Crochet. That's how they operated with Cora. Like, this is how they've operated. So it's not that surprising. But to hear that they were talking like that and actually got close enough where he thought it actually had a chance to get done the day before opening day. Yeah, that was a surprise to me, and I agree with Sammy that it makes me optimistic that in the future, even maybe during the season, something could get done.
May I give my opinion on it,
please,
fellas?
You may.
Okay. So I was, as you could hear, the surprise in my voice. Gasp. Really? Almost midnight? Yes.
That's so late.
Yes, kind of. Okay? So that was surprising that because I think I was along the lines of what you guys were saying. And really, maybe I was a victim of a lot of the reports, a lot of the scuttlebutt, that it's just not going to get done. It's just not going to get done. And when we heard that, guys, it was, yeah, it's expected because it's a very complicated thing where he might be asking for 12 years and the Red Sox might be viewing it in a completely different way. So it's not a big surprise that it's not going to get done. So when I hear that, where he's talking about it almost got done, I'm like, that was surprising, number one. And number two, it should be heartening, as I said to him later in that interview, which was, if you have a decent year, if you have a good year, and now you start talking again, you have a good landing spot, you have a good construct, if it was that close, you are of the same mind, I think, of what, again, this is a very complicated thing. Like, I've been pushing back on the narrative of, oh, it's going to be a 5 or 6 year extension. No, I think that they view this, Garrett Crochet and his representatives view this as a free agent deal. And if it's a free agent deal, you're talking about potentially the highest paid player or pitcher in baseball. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, that could totally happen. And I think that Garrett Crochet right now, as it stands, he has the vast majority of the leverage here. So it behooves him to wait, keep it going, maybe get more years, more money, hope the Red Sox eventually cave, which, like Gordo said, we've seen them cave, do stuff last second, kind of that, okay, fine, sort of deal. So the only thing that surprised me really was that Crochet was that candid about it. I expect these negotiations
Once you get him in the baseballs and boring rocking chair, it's all over.
He's like that. It's nice. I appreciate when players are candid. You don't see it that often. That's why I love Tristan Casas so much.
Okay, I was going to say sometimes. But when they say, I don't think the prospects. we know Casas might have been trolling a little bit with that, but it's a case-by-case thing for me.
Rob, yeah, I'll tell you.
I think. Oh, go ahead, Gordo.
I was just going to say, with the whole free agent, with you looking at whether Crochet would want a deal that maybe pays him generational wealth, but he gets to hit the market again at age 30 or 31 or whatnot, versus the free agent deal that takes him to his mid to late 30s, and this is going to be the deal. Oh my God. He's going to be 27 as the dominant pitcher that he is entering free agents. Like that, no, he's not 27 now. He's going to be 27 when he hits free agency.
Right.
That is a big, big, big commitment.
That's what I'm saying. He's got all the leverage, though, because he could easily say, yeah, oh,
but
I'll go to free agency.
That's why, and Rob was alluding to this, but that's why this is so complicated, is there's never been a pitcher that we're all so confident is as good as he is, mm-hmm. that has as little experience starting as he does, but is also going to hit the free agent market as soon as he's going to.
You know, here's the comp, which I don't understand more people aren't giving. And maybe it's because he has a completely different body, a completely different type of pitcher. Why aren't more people comping him to Yamamoto?
Well,
because he's not a free agent.
On the Play Tessie podcast, I've heard they did that.
Well, okay, ooh. Thank you.
But
thank
Yamamoto was also a free agent where it could talk to all 30 teams.
I understand that.
But you're right. Outside of that, though, it's very similar.
Well,
and I agree the body.
You have a young pitcher. Yeah. You have, if you want to say that Crochet hasn't done it as a starter very long, that's fair, and that's fine. And maybe that's why the Red Sox are willing to not go over the finish line. That's fine. But the same thing in a different way with Yamamoto, you weren't positive that it was going to translate. You never are going from Japanese baseball to American baseball. So, by the way, it's just bizarre. It was Trevor's over here at Globe Life Field. I'm looking at Trevor's story. He's walking around the field. He's not in uniform. He went out to the batting cage. And they have the pitching machine. He doesn't have a bat. And, man, I don't know. He's sort of flexing his back.
He might be doing the Happy Gilmore thing where he stands in front of the pitching machine.
No, well, he did. He stood in the batter's box. He saw he didn't have a bat. He was just watching pitches off the pitching machine. He walked around. Now he's sitting in a folding chair right out by almost by the third base line. So, yeah, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to paint the picture. I will keep an eye on Trevor Story.
So he's the new third baseman?
Yeah, that's what you're saying, right?
Right?
He's on his phone. He's in a folding chair right now. It's
texting
just,
Alex Cora, can I play third base?
Alex Cora walked out with him. That was another bizarre part about this. So I'm here to set the scene. I can tell you it is the perfect weather day.
Roof open?
Here in Arlington, Texas. No, they will not open. I don't think. They open it for like 2 seconds on opening day, and then they close it.
Rob, I got a question about the roof. How long does it take to open it?
Not long. Not long.
I thought it took 15 minutes to open these things.
It's not long. It's not Sky Dome long. Rogers Center long. No. So anyway, I am going to continue to paint the picture. We are going to get to your calls. I appreciate everybody hanging on the lines. We're going to get to you. I see some conversations about Bregman, 617-779-7937. And speaking of Trevor Story and making sure that he's healthy, we should also note what Marcelo Meyer's existence is all about. He went on the Jones and Keefe show yesterday, said some very interesting things, particularly about my excellent question about the haunted house. But also that what his plan is and how he believes that he should be have been on this team. And I don't think he did it in a malicious way, but it was enough where Alex Cora actually had to answer about it in the pregame yesterday. There's a lot to get to, man. Devers, Crochet, Meyer, all of it. Anything you want to talk about, 617-779-7937. This is a Baseball and Boring Show. Be back after this.